Amen. Well, God bless all of you on today. Amen. God bless our connected community. Let's give our connected community a hand. If this keeps traveling on me, Kevin, I'm going to switch to the mic. Amen. Thank God for all our guests. Let's give our guests a hand. Amen. Amen. Thank God for you all that's decided to visit with us today. Amen. And we're just glad to have our guests and our members. And amen. Welcome to Gen Ministries, where our mission is to, amen, equip individuals to impact their generation. Amen. Amen. I want us to do some our declaration, our scriptures. I've added one more verse to our. You know, I am very. I have OCD issues sometimes. Y'all can tell. Lucretia, what's up? I do. Can I relax today? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I want to shout out Lakira coming in the house. Come on, bring that baby. I prophesied over that baby before she was born. Amen. So this is, I'm going to have to switch because this is not going to work. It's going to irritate me. I won't be able to minister. All right. We just have to edit that out a little bit. I mean, geez. Thank you. All right. Thank God again for everyone. Let's here I added to our scriptures, and today we're going to talk about the power of the ask. The power of the ask, A-S-K. Because we want to function. We have a fast coming up, and we have a prayer on November 1. 7 p.m. Instead of coffee and conversation this Wednesday, we're going to have a time of prayer and fasting, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And so I wanted to take this message and zero in on our time of fasting and prayer. Amen. And just really talk about the power of the ask. And just, amen, just give you some insight there. But our scripture is 1 Peter 1 and 23, and I like the... I added this to our verses that we decree, and this is out of the TPT translation. I like that translation. It says, "For through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again." Amen. How many have been born again by the word of God? "And this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow." Somebody say grow. "Inside of you forever." Amen. So that I've added that scripture. Some of the other scriptures that we've been quoting is Philippians 4 and 13 that says, "I can do." I can do what? "Through Christ who strengthens me." And that strengthens means to fortify, sustain, energize, equip, and empowers me. So everything God has given me to do, asked me to do, commissioned me to do, commanded me to do, I can do it, amen, because I do it in his power and his grace. My wife and I were talking about grace the other day, and amen, grace is more than just the power to save you, but it is the power of God upon your life. Amen. It is the active power of God on your life. Your gifts are grace gifts. They're empowered by the grace of God. Amen. So we can do all things through Christ because he has graced us to do it. And then our other scripture is Mark 9 and 23, which is the Message Bible, Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. And that's Mark 9 and 23. How many know anything can happen? Your life can change in a second, in a moment. Amen. With one connection, your life could change. Amen. Amen. I was listening to an interview with Steve Harvey, and he was talking about how he was living in a car and how he was pretty much ready to go home to his father. And his father was in construction. His father was a guy that says, once you leave this house, don't come back. I mean, his father supported him, but he was just that old school, amen, make it work. And he was getting ready to go and call his father and just say, listen, let me just come back. And he said he got one phone call, amen. He checked his messages, got a phone call from the Apollo Theater and said that we need you to host. The current host can't do it. We need you to host. And he was all the way in Florida. They needed him in Harlem, New York. He didn't have the money. He said when he called back, checked the message again, amen, to get the man's number or what have you, there was a call on there, open mic at a comedy club. And they offered him money. And he did so well, amen, that on that Saturday, he was supposed to be at Apollo that Sunday. I believe he did it that Saturday and that Sunday morning or that Friday and that Saturday. And he got the money to get to Apollo, amen. And in that one phone call, amen, it took him from living in a car, amen, to eventually hosting the Apollo and things of that nature. You will not be where you are always. Oh, come on. Matter of fact, even if you're doing okay where you are, amen, God wants to take you to another level. Somebody say another level. Amen. I just really feel to preach into that, to minister into that. Amen. To don't settle where you are. God has more for you. And let me tell you, he has more than you think, amen, for you. God is going to do exceedingly above, beyond all that you ask or think. God is bringing the big into your life. He's bringing the huge into your life. He's bringing the gigantic into your life. He's bringing the suddenly into your life. Amen. Our declaration, let's read it together. So, Father, I thank you. Y'all ready? Let's go. One, two, three, go. Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what your word says I can do. I can have what your word says I can have. The power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. We're going to read a couple of scriptures, one in 1 Chronicles 22 and the other in 1 Kings 3. Before we read that, let me give you the context for some that may not be familiar with David and Solomon. David is the king. He's the second king of Israel, and he is a tremendous warrior. Amen. He's a tremendous fighter, and God raises him up, anoints him, and sets him to be king over Israel. Amen. David, he conquers. He spends a time conquering. I mean, first avoiding Saul, the first king that wanted to kill him, but then David moves to a place of prominence. David gains a tremendous amount of wealth. Not only was he a great warrior, amen, but he was a great worshiper. Amen. That says, amen. That lets us know, men, that we could be great fighters and manly men, but we can also be worshipers. David built a house, a fallacious house, just a decked out house. Amen. His palace, and he constructed it. And it was just it was, amen, all on cribs and Instagram and everything. Amen. And David decided that he wanted, amen, he has a house, but God didn't have a temple. At that time, God was the presence of God, and the holies of holies was in a tent, a movable folding tent that they could move. And David says, why in the world am I in this palace, amen, and God is in a tent? He says, I'm going to build God a house. Amen. Sounded good, good motive, good idea, but it wasn't God's will. God sends Nathan, said, go tell David, said, listen, you've been a warrior. You brought peace in the land. Your hands have blood on them. I don't want you to build me a temple. I'm going to let your son build a temple. Amen. But you can't build a temple. So David, in turn, becomes the architect, and Solomon becomes the builder. And sometimes when we're asking God to do something, we have to evaluate where we are in the process. Are you called to be the architect, or are you the builder? And sometimes God will pair an architect with a builder. Sometimes you have an anointing to build, but you need the design to build. You need the architect, the blueprints, in order to build. So God established David as the architect, and Solomon would be the builder. Partnership. Partnership. And that kind of gets us started where we want to be thinking about in the ask, because asking God is sequential, and I'll give you scriptures in a minute, but asking God is sequential. It's not just random ask, but it's an evaluation of where you are and what season you are and what you need to ask for in that present time. Are you the architect, or are you the builder? Let's read our scriptures. First Chronicles 22, the New Living Translation. Amen. All right, I'll just read. All right, David said, my son Solomon is still young and inexperienced. This is after David's gotten the word that he can build the temple. And since the temple to be built for the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world, I will begin making preparations for it. For it now. So David collected vast amounts of building materials before his death. Then David sent for his son Solomon and instructed him to build a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel. My son, I wanted to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord my God, David told him. But the Lord said to me, you have killed many men in the battles, and you have the battles you have fought, and since you have shed so much blood in my sight, you will not be the one to build a temple to honor my name. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace. And what I love about these verses here is because some things we ask God for, and things that we ought to ask God for, ought to be generational. Amen. That is so big and so vast that I have to prepare it for myself, but I also have to structure it where it lasts from generation to generation. This is what David's doing. But he will have a son who will be a man of peace, and I will give him peace within his enemies and all the surrounding lands. His name will be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel during his reign. He is the one who will build a temple to honor my name, and he will be my son, and I will be his father, and I will secure his throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Amen. Which also speaks, we had prophetic activation yesterday. And this scripture speaks to being able to see prophetically, amen, down generations. What can I do today and set up that God wants to last for generations to come? Amen. Too many times we set up things that only last one generation. God wants us to set up. He wants what's on your life. He wants the vision he's given you. He wants the dream he's given you to last beyond your days on the earth. Amen? All right, let's go to our next scripture. 1 Kings 3, 3 through 5. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father, David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the local places of worship. The most important of these places was the worship in Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want?" Just a map, put yourself there. Amen. "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." What do you want? "Ask, and I will give it to you." Amen. The power of the ask. There was a time a couple weeks ago that if the Lord asked me that, I might have said the mega numbers. It was over $1 billion. Think about the good I could do. I've never played the lottery. I don't play the lottery. I don't gamble. I've been to Vegas a lot of times. I don't gamble. I go for conventions. But if I knew that number, it wouldn't be gambling. The Lord appears to Solomon and says, "What do you want? Ask, and I'll give it to you." Smile. You know, God wants us to ask. And the privilege of asking and the privilege to have the ability to ask God is not a small thing. Sometimes we could be so casual in our approaching of a holy God that we just kind of blurt out things that we want, but we really don't contemplate what it means and what happens when we ask. Asking God sets forth a chain reaction in the spirit. Asking requires accountability to the thing you've asked for. Asking will put you in a predicament where God says, "Now you've asked, now I've got to process you for the answer." Because everything we ask for, we're not ready for. Asking will require consistency and dedication. Sometimes, amen, it's better to stay in the valley of desire than to ask. Because in desire is just a wish. A desire is just a dream. To want something, to desire something. But when that desire prompts the ask of a holy God that values his word above his name, and tells us the same, that blessed is a man or woman who swears to their own hurt and does not change. Asking God is not like a slot machine. You just put a bunch of ask out there and just see what you get. See what the return is. But asking requires thought. Asking requires planning. Asking requires discernment. It's not frivolous. It's not to be wasted. The sheer privilege of coming before the God, a God, the King of all the earth, that wants to give the nations as our inheritance, that just simply says, ask. Don't be the person that asks and walk away
and forget what you asked for. You have just dishonored that communication with God. If we really knew and can see heaven's activity over our ask with faith, we would be more cautious. We'd be more thoughtful in our ask. We would realize that our ask has power. Amen. My ask has power. Tell somebody, your ask has power. Because this is what Jesus says. Jesus says it like this. He says in John 14, 12 through 14, he says, "Verily, verily, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You asking the Father in my name is not just for you. I'm going to give it to you so it brings glory to God. So the ask and the answer, it brings glory to God. Now, there are qualifiers, you know, with our ask. You can't just ask for everything. You can't ask for somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. You can't ask for their car and their house. You can't ask for confusion on the person you don't like. So there are qualifiers around our ask. It must be based in the Word of God. It must be followed up by faith. Amen. And faith only works where the perfect will of God is known. Amen. So before you ask, you got to know that it's the will of God. I'll say it again, because faith only works where the perfect will of God is known. But once I know it's God's will, I can ask. You can't ask to consume it on your own lust. Amen. James 4 and 3, you can't ask amiss. James says you have not because you ask not. Amen. Some things we haven't received because we haven't asked. I'm guilty of that. I remember Prophet Pam Kent said, gave my wife and I a word, said, "You know what? There are things God wants to give you, and you don't even ask." I was guilty as charged. Because by nature, I'm just going to work for it. I'm just conditioned to work for it. Need a little more money, work a little harder. Amen. But God wants us to ask. He don't want you to break your back at a job. He wants you to sow seed and ask. He's giving you the power to ask. That's powerful. Amen. And then if you ask amiss, which means to consume it on your personal lust, amen. You want a Bentley because you want a flex, amen. You want to show off your personal lust. That disqualifies. Amen. But beside those things, and of course, being in the will of God and having a heart submitted to God, man, the opportunity and the privilege of asking is wide, is broad. Jesus said it like this. He said, "All things are possible to those that believe." In other words, you could ask for a lot more than what you're believing for. Amen. When we were growing up, and I know some of you that were growing, come up in a certain era, Amen. My grandmother, who was a praying woman, amen, her main petitions were for her family and her daily provisions. Amen. Because we didn't know about entrepreneurship. Amen. I grew up in, I would say, like, middle class. Amen. Amen. And but, you know, there was just daily provisions. My grandmother prayed that when the pastor would come over every Sunday and when the money was short, amen, that she would get the funds to be able to feed the pastor and family. So you get conditioned to that level of ask. But you could ask, Jesus said, you could ask for the kingdom. It's power, it's authority, it's influence, it's grace, it's favor. So we need to broaden our ask. Because we set the boundaries and the limitations upon our own lives when we limit the ask. There's power in the ask. Jesus said, Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. 7 and 8 said, for everyone that asks, it's the perfect will of God, and you're asking in faith. Everyone who asks receives. And to one that seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, is opened. Matthew 18:19 says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth, if you get with somebody, let's touch and agree. That's a formula of heaven. Let's touch and agree. And anything they ask, it will be done for them by my what? Father in heaven. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be what? Yours. Luke 11:13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Amen. If you're marginal, amen, amen, you're partial, you're prejudiced, amen, amen. If you just, even the father, amen, that doesn't, or the mother that doesn't have all the things in line, would just go ahead and give their kid something. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask him. John 15:7. I love this. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And you know what that does? When you abide and connected to the vine, that means, amen, your source of your desire is coming from Jesus. Amen. You're piped in and connected. Amen. So if you abide in him and his word abide in you, your desires are purified, you can ask what you will. It be done for you. John 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive what? That your joy may be full. Sometimes God want to give you some things just so your joy be full. Your joy be full. But is it a random ask or is it a targeted ask? It's okay to ask for daily provision. That's in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, Father, your will be done. Amen. Give us this day what? Our daily bread. And that daily bread is not just natural bread, but it's bread of revelation every day. You ask for sustenance, but you also ask for wisdom. You ask for revelation to govern that day. So you ask things, but there's also a sequence and a pattern to our ask. And this is found in Zechariah 10:1. And it says, a prophetic word, amen, says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Let me give you just a brief context here. Israel's going back from captivity after 70 years. The land has been just ravaged, amen, and they have to begin again. Because although, amen, God had to punish them, he promised them through the prophetic word of Jeremiah that you're going to end up in Babylon. Amen. You're going to be there 70 years, but after 70 years, you're going to return. And so when they return, here comes the prophet. He said, ask for the latter rain in the season of the springtime. Why is he saying that? Amen. Because in harvest, remember the Bible is an agricultural book. And so, amen. So you had the former rains, the first rains that harvested the fields, amen, caused everything to grow. But if you got a latter rain, amen, a rain on the back end of the harvest, your crops would grow exponentially. Amen. They would double in productivity because not only did you receive the rain at the beginning of the harvest, but you received the latter rains that yielded a greater harvest. What I love about this verse is that God says, ask for rain in the season of the springtime. So in other words, around our ask must be an evaluation of our season. What season are we in? What season are you in? What are you facing? Target your prayers according to the season. That's why it's good. You got to be under a pastor. You just got to be in the house of God. Because now we're in a season of growth. We declared growth in August. I can't even tell you how many people have joined since August. We decreed that we're built to grow. We focus on spiritual growth. God's been causing us to grow spiritually and numerically. So what season is it? Now that we enter our fast at 7 p.m. on Tuesday through the end of prayer on Wednesday. Water only. That's not a hard fast. That's only 24 hours, people. It's a wonderful thing to posture ourselves for the ask. Get rid of the flesh so we could discern our season. Amen. Amen. You'll be okay. Don't gorge yourself at 6:30 on Tuesday evening. Arcadia after 7 o'clock tomorrow. Lord, let me have this spaghetti and fish and a hamburger and a side of fries. If you do that, you'll be hungrier. It's better to taper on Monday evening and taper on Tuesday. Now, we always say doctor, if a doctor says you got a prescription, that's different. So what are we asking for? We're in a season of growth. You focus your ask in this season of growth over everything you need to grow. Everything that comes against your growth, you bind, but everything you need to grow, you ask for, because that's the season we're in. Everything in your life that hasn't grown, everything that's been stagnant, whether it's your spiritual life, whether it's your physical life, whether it's your emotional life, this is the season to present that to God. You know why? Because the word of God, the perfect will of God has been preached, so the heavens are open in this season over your ask. The word of God is already plowed in the area of growth. So now mix it with fasting and prayer. You can tap into it. And I believe when we ask in the season, because see, you're asking for the latter rain in the springtime, which means the season's about to change, means God's got to do it soon. Because he's going to send the latter rain on the back end of spring. So when you ask in the season, I believe you get quicker answers. Because you already know the perfect will of God is that you grow. So it requires thought. Where am I, Lord? That's why we're coming together on Wednesday at 7 in prayer. Where am I, Lord? What do I need to grow? What area do I need to grow? I'm fasting. I'm seeking you, Lord, because I'm going to excel and break this plateau. How many know what it means, a plateau? Amen. You losing weight, amen. You get down to, amen, 180 or something, and then you trying to get down to 170, and at 180, just don't want to let you go. You just plateau, amen. You start eating carrots and watermelon and start drinking water, amen, and still 180. I remember the day you used to put on the silver suits, amen, with the elastic, and you'd be out there running down the street with the silver space suits trying to sweat because you're done plateaued. Got that high school reunion coming up. Amen. I'm gonna show up right. Amen. I may be half dead, but I'm going to show up. I may be ready to fall out, but I'm about to show up. And you do everything to what? Break that plateau. Where have you plateaued? Where's your family plateaued? Have you plateaued? That's where you target the power of the ask. Solomon, what do you want? Ask for what you want. Asking requires accountability, comes from desire, requires accountability. Solomon thinks about it. He weighs it. He says, God, I'm young. This is a lot of people. He said, give me wisdom. This is what he asked for. Give me the ability to govern what I ask for and govern what I'm about to walk into. Give me governance. It's one thing to ask. It's another thing to receive. It's a whole other thing to govern what you got. Because you can receive it and lose it because you don't know how to govern it. God was so delighted that he asked for this. He says, God, he said, you please me in the eyes. He said, I'm going to give you a lanyard. I'm going to give you a bonus. I'm going to give you the ability to govern, and I'm going to give you wisdom above everybody else. No one will be known like you in the level of wisdom. I'm about done, but let's just review this. I'm going to assess where I am, an area of growth. Now, you could pray for other things. I'm just saying we've been praying for growth. If you go to jennygen.com, you can download November's prayer points, a prayer bulletin, amen, about growth, amen. We've been on growth. So, amen, we're targeting growth. So where have I plateaued? That's where I'm going to target my ask. But I'm not only just going to pray to receive it, I'm going to pray to govern it. I want to pray to govern it. We have corporate requests that we'll pray. Amen. Even for 2024, as we come into 2024, because we're going to break, amen, we're going to break the 200-member barrier. Amen. And I'm not talking 200, amen, and then you get 115 to show up, and then, you know, you rotate through people. I'm talking about 200 active. You got to be specific in the ask. Amen. I'm asking for elders. governing leaders. I'm asking for more musicians. God is already doing that. We got another musician coming to be here next week. I'm asking for more dancers. Because what? This is a season of growth, right? So I want the dancers to grow, the numbers to grow. I'm asking for our own land, our own property. We're about to start a literacy program and an entrepreneur development program. Amen. I'm asking for strength and teammates to Brother Marlon be joined to him. Amen. And I'm asking for it to be such, amen, that it grows and is generational. Amen. So while I ask, I assess. Now, Father, am I the architect of this or am I the builder? Sometimes God is the architect and the builder. Sometimes you're the architect and the builder. Sometimes you're the builder and somebody else is the architect. So while I'm asking, I got to position myself. Got to get wisdom on this. So I don't just ask and just throw it out there. I got to get wisdom on this. Amen. Be involved. Be connected to what you're asking for. Amen. God will give you a plan. You ask, he'll give you a plan. Say, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that what? That you don't know, that you didn't see. So be connected. Ask soberly. But be connected to what you're asking for. And be disciplined and dedicated enough to work it. Because if you don't work it, it's just going to fall to the ground. I'm gonna share one other thing. I was looking at, you know, even Abraham, who God came and promised, and you know, make him a great nation. And you know, he set out, and Hebrews 11 and 10 says something so interesting. So Abraham listened to God, and he stepped out there, and he said he looked for a place who architect and builder was God. He didn't know where it was, but he just stepped out there. What was his involvement? What was his investment? He said, God's going to give me a seed that's going to be a nation. Amen. And so what did he do? Him and Sarah went to work. Amen. And tried to have a baby. 70, 80 years old. Keep it going. I'll do that, wake y'all up. Amen. Whatever you ask God for, you have to be invested in. And have to be willing to do your part. Whether you're the builder, the architect, whatever role you have to play, let's stand. The power of the ask. I thought that was pretty. I was humorous when I saw that. I said, eventually Abraham and Sarah came, eventually she said, this Lord ain't willing to give us a baby. Go on and get to somebody else. But that also is a lesson on patience of what God has said and what he has promised. To stay there and don't be distracted. Because what God said he's going to do. So do what God tells you to do, but don't deviate from there. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just worship for a moment here. In the name of Jesus. Yes. 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 Come on, worship. Come on, worship. Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. I want to pray over everyone via that's on live stream right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to pray that in a moment here, but I want to pray that over live stream now. Amen. As as we're worshiping and standing, I just sense, amen, there are some individuals that have really been pressing into the things of God, have been patient, but it seems as though the heavens are shut up over your ask, over the thing that you've been waiting for God for, and there's been no progress, there's been no movement, there's been no manifestation. And I just even the heavens are as iron. And the portals are now open. And I just touch and agree in the name of Jesus. And we lose angels, warring angels, to fight against that which has tried to keep the thing you believe in God for, amen, that which you need from God to keep it from you, to shut up the heavens, amen, a blockage of revelation and insight and wisdom and manifestation in the name of Jesus. We decree the heavens are open. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. So I encourage you, amen, to share this and tag someone and join us in this fast, amen, because even the stubborn things are going to be broken. Even the resistance to that next level, even that plateau is going to be broken in the name of Jesus. We decree that over everyone that's viewing via live stream. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can receive him. There's information on the screen. You can receive him in Jesus' name. Amen.